Traveling down to the feast, now many years ago, we stopped at a gas station in Prattville, Alabama. My boys travel pretty well at this point, they're older. But back then, being on a road trip with a couple small children means that every passing second is precious time before the next meltdown, before the next whining, the next crying, the next screaming fit. There's no time to waste with infants strapped down in their multi-point harnesses that are required today. So Dad has to turn from a pudgy middle-aged man into Captain Efficiency. We pull into a gas station, the vehicle goes into park. Captain Efficiency springs from the car, credit card in one hand, trash in the other. In seconds, gas is pumping and the clock is ticking. I circled the pump for the windshield cleaner. It's missing, of course. Precious seconds tick away. So I run to the next pump, snag their cleaner, and head back. It looks worn out and old, but it'll do for today. I even decide to do Liz's passenger side, being the noble knight of a husband that I am. You know, so she can stare at her phone instead of the windshield. Captain Efficiency furiously scrubs and squeegees the entire windshield top to bottom. We'd already been on the interstate for several hours, so there are multiple layers of insect tragedy to be removed. Throwing the cleaner back in its place, I return to my post just as the gas stops pumping. No time for a receipt, silly robot machine. Captain Efficiency has saved the day once again. A perfectly efficient stop with no time wasted at all. As we pull out of the gas station, I triumphantly turn directly into the sun, hoping to admire my handiwork. I expect to see a spotless shine, a masterpiece of erasing, being previously and expertly trained in the art of window cleaning. What I saw in my windshield was a windshield completely full of scratches. The sunlight passing through revealed dozens, if not hundreds, of thin but very visible scratches all over the windshield. I had just ruined my windshield. Apparently the pad on the windshield cleaner had worn off in one spot and something sharp was exposed. It wasn't loud enough for me to hear it or notice, but it was big enough to scratch every single spot that I touched. For a few days, I was sick to my stomach about this windshield. My mind raced for solutions. Would I need to replace the whole thing? Could I somehow repair it? Would I just leave it if it's a cosmetic only and not a safety issue? Will I have to stare at this mistake that I made for years to come? The next day, to get my mind off of it, I went ahead and broke my cell phone, but that didn't work. Back to the windshield, something strange happened. The horror of it all dissipated. It went away. As the days went on, the windshield became dirtier. I didn't notice the scratches nearly as much as I had before. If it was cloudy out, which it was often, I may not even notice them at all. So after that initial shock was gone, I became more at peace with the fact that they were there. I could, in fact, probably live with them being there. I damaged my own windshield thinking I was doing good. My intentions were good, yet I was doing damage because I didn't fully understand or realize the effect that I was having on my environment. Captain Efficiency's greatest power became a weakness due to lack of awareness. Let's start over in Proverbs 14, verse 12 for the second message. For those of you with good memories, I've shared that story before about 8 years ago for a sermonette. Apologies if you remember that. Most of what I say is quickly forgettable. But as Mr. Frank says, people generally tend to remember a story. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. I didn't inspect the windshield cleaner. I didn't test it first. I didn't make sure it was good before I applied it to using it in my own life. When we're first baptized, we are a shiny new car with a sparkling windshield. No dents, no scratches. We're ready and excited to hit the road. But once we inevitably get that first scratch, it bothers us. Our beautiful car is ruined. 10 years later, for example, you may not care. Well, another little scratch on your car that's already beat up. Walmart parking lot again? Yep. Seems that once we've put a few miles on the tires, we're not as concerned with its appearance. Now, perhaps you've already put together my analogy for today. Are we okay with our own spiritual scratches? Do they not bother us as much as they used to? Through life, we're going to hit some bugs. Our windshields are going to get dirty. We may even permanently scratch them sometimes. There are some things in life that can't be repaired physically. We know that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3:23, just for reference. Is our sin as disgusting to us as it used to be? Or do we just start to ignore the scratches on our lives that are just too hard for us to overcome? Those sins that we just can't seem to shake, that just keep coming back? Do you find yourself starting to ignore those scratches over time? Are your scratches small enough that you don't need to take any action? Now, there's an interesting difference in observing the scratches on the windshield between night and day. At night, the scratches don't have enough light passing through them, and they're basically invisible. You can completely forget that they're there if you're only looking at it at nighttime. In the darkness, you don't care about small little scratches on your windshield. You can't see them. But the next day, when morning comes, if it's a sunny day, it's a very different story. In the light, the blemishes are, again, very glaring and very noticeable. Painful to look at and not just so easily ignored like they were before. Turn over to John chapter 3. Read verses 19 to 21 here in John chapter 3. John 3 and verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Those in the darkness find it easy to ignore their scratches. Most aren't even visible if they're never looked at in the light. It's easy, it's convenient to ignore working on themselves for those that live in the darkness. As we just read, they prefer it that way. It's easier. In their minds, they're not the problem. Everyone else is the problem. Society's holding me down. This group or that group is oppressing me. Life isn't fair to me because of X, Y, or Z. In the darkness, there's not very much work being done on the self. We in this room and on the webcast, we desire a loftier goal and a greater reward. We are to be holding ourselves to a much higher standard. Our scratches must be examined in the light. To model, to emulate Christ's example is a windshield that's examined in the light. Our goal is to be perfect, to be mature, as our Father in heaven is perfect. Let's turn over to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3. Second Corinthians 4, we'll start in verse 3. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the gods of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of the darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The true light of the gospel is the only way that we can properly examine our windshields. All other efforts are in vain. You can't effectively clean the glass in the dark. I installed a new light in our bathroom a few weeks ago. We had a light and fan and Bluetooth speaker combo in there. I added a second light so we don't have to flip that on every time and wear that out. First thing Liz said when she saw the new light is, "Whoa, it's too bright in here. We can see how dirty it is." It's much easier to ignore the tiles and grout that need some scrubbing from us when it was darker. Ignorance can be bliss sometimes. But again, with our calling, isn't more expected from us? We'll turn over to James 1 and verse 27. Memory verse for many, James 1, verse 27. "Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world." How do we remain unspotted from the world? For the sake of this analogy, how do we keep our windshields clean? As we're traveling through this world, we're traveling through our daily lives, how do we possibly keep our windshields, our lives, clean the way that God wants us to, the way that God expects us to? Well, if all you had was simply a windshield, just a piece of glass, and no other tools to help you see through it, after weeks, months, years going by, we wouldn't be able to see through it anymore, would we? If all you had were your hands to try to wipe things off, to try to keep it clean, how well would that work? If we ignored our windshields for weeks, months, or years on end, what would that look like? If we were to remain in the darkness and not actually work at all on our godly character, how would we look? Fortunately, we do have tools at our disposal to help keep our windshields clean, to help us to be able to keep seeing out of our windshield clearly despite whatever conditions are out there, whatever the world throws at us. If we're truly examining our windshields, our lives, in the light that God intends us to, as he says, to truly examine our hearts, our thoughts, our actions, our examples, we need some help. We can't do this on our own. So we'll go through four tools today that we must use to help us see through the windshield, to see clearly in our lives, to help us navigate which way that we should go. And I admit I'm risking a bit of a cheesy analogy to make this work, but I think that we'll agree these spiritual principles apply. If Christ used analogies and parables all the time, there must be something to that. I'm not saying mine are anywhere like his, but can be effective. So four tools to help us see. Number one, as we've already discussed a bit, first, the light. See through the windshield, we have to have light. Whether it be the light of day or in dark and stormy conditions in our lives, like we heard in the first message, we need light from some source to be able to see out of our windshields. If you'll turn back with me to Psalm 119, we'll read verse 105. Psalm 119, verse 105. "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Probably have that memorized. Want to sing the tune? Familiar with that? We'll drop down to verse 129. This is Psalm 119, verse 129. "Your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. The entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your custom is toward those who love your name. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me." God's word shows us our path. We have to steer in the right direction and follow that road, of course. But we can't stay on that path unless we respond to God's word and follow where it tells us to go. It is our roadmap. It is, and I may lose anyone in the room who's under age 30 or 35, it is our atlas. Most of us used to carry a Rand McNally atlas in our vehicles. It was a large book of maps that helped you get around when you didn't know where you were. It was a dark time in human history when everyone could actually read a map. This was long before the woman on your GPS told you how many feet you had before your next turn. There was a time when there was a road closure or an accident or unforeseen circumstance. You actually had to pull over, figure out where you were, and chart a path to where you needed to go. It was wild. It was how we visited each other's caves back in the day. But God's word is the roadmap to our lives. It is the light we follow on our path. Christ, of course, living God's words, faithful and true, also is the light. Let's turn over to John 1:1. Read a few verses here from the beginning of the book of John. John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Christ's perfect life is perfect example, perfect reflection. Harmony of with God is that light. Verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. God's character, God's plan, God's way, and Christ's example is that light for us to follow. It is that standard for us to try to live up to. It is that light for us to examine our lives through. We can't possibly do that the way God wants us to in the darkness. We'll finish this point out over in 1 John 1. 1 John 1 and verse 5. First John 1, read verses 5 to 7. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You can hear my stomach, maybe. Ready for wings? Hopefully you couldn't hear that. There's no question that God's way, God's truth, God's word, the word, Jesus Christ, is the light that we're to be following. Is that what you're focusing on through your windshield, through your daily life? Or is it something else from time to time? We get distracted. Number two, next we need to have windshield wipers to clear off the rain. To clear off debris. Sometimes you've got leaves, dirt, bugs, any variety of things for the wipers to clear off our windshield so we can see. Maybe someone throws a slushie at your windshield or something. I'm not saying that's happened to me a lot. Some people don't get how to merge. You don't merge 3 miles before the merging section, but some people take offense to that. I digress. But we need help in clearing certain items from our windshield. We need help. We need others as we try to walk God's way of life. To talk to encourage us, to learn from, to teach us, to teach each other. So let's consider our fellow brethren, our windshield wipers, there to assist us when we need it. You turn over to James 5 and verse 16 with me. actually, here in the first message, we'll go a little bit past where he stopped. James 5 and verse 16, confirm your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, as we heard about. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain in the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. We need to pray for others. We need others to pray for us. Again, as we heard a lot about, Elijah was just a man, just a human like all of us, but effective prayer could move mountains. It could change weather patterns through God's power, of course. Verse 19, brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. We're to help each other. We're to keep each other on the right path. We're to clear obstacles for one another and to help us overcome them when we're faced with trials. We're to wipe away these obstacles for one another. It's part of our role. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll read verses 9 to 14. Thessalonians 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Verse 14, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. We have a responsibility to each other to provide a basic necessity for human life. We all are going to get things on our windshields. Are you and I helping our brethren to be able to see clearly? Are we effective windshield wipers for your fellow church family? Did you come to church today expecting to be called a windshield wiper? Number three, washer fluid. Number three is washer fluid. Washer fluid is an essential part of cleaning our windshield, especially when we don't have the time or ability to stop. When we unexpectedly need to suddenly clean our windshield, and we're going 65 on the highway, washer fluid is a must to take care of that need in real time. It makes our vision more clear when we need it the most. But that fluid is only there if you've taken the time to prepare it to be there. We have to have put enough fluid in the reservoir, or our guy at Valvoline did, to have it when you need it. You push a button, if it's not, nothing's there, nothing will happen. That one's pretty predictable, but washer fluid is the Holy Spirit to aid us, assuming that we haven't let that washer fluid run dry in our vehicle. Of course, there are steps we had to take to get the Holy Spirit in the first place, but can we let it expire? Can we run out of it? Can our reservoir run dry? Should be close to here, maybe across the page. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16 now. A couple verses down. Verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. If we're admonished to not quench the Spirit, then clearly that's an option for us to do. are you and I in danger of quenching the Holy Spirit that is within us? Are we ignoring it? Are we only calling upon it in dire emergencies, like the world seems to do? Suddenly, I turn to God in emergencies. Are we hitting the button for it when we need it, but there's nothing there because we haven't been filling it up? We haven't been preparing. We haven't been putting in the thought and the work beforehand to have it ready. We'll turn back to the Old Testament, to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, starting in verse 10. Psalm 51 and verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. If someone like David, a man after God's own heart, needed to ask God that, then what do you and I need to do? I'm, of course, more talking about me. Are we preparing in our lives? Are we tapping into that gift of the Holy Spirit? Are we filling up that reservoir while we can? Or are we falling into the trap of the world or just calling on it in an emergency? Fourth and final point. Sometimes we just need to stop and wash the entire car. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Sometimes we just need to stop and wash the entire car. Second Corinthians 13 in verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. We go through a process of examination both annually through the Passover and also throughout the year. If we didn't examine ourselves in the light, we would never notice the many scratches that we've been living with. We would never be able to fix blemishes, scratches, if we don't realize that they're there in the first place. We're here in 2 Corinthians. If you back up to 1 Corinthians 11, just a couple more verses before we close. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27. So Mr. Willoughby mentioned in his note yesterday, we're just less than 11 weeks now from Passover, the next step in God's plan. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 27. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. And that's really the key for us. For if we would judge ourselves, if we would examine our scratches on a regular basis, we would not be judged. This is why we need to examine our windshields through the light. This is why we need to examine our cars, our windshields, keep them as clean as possible. That's why we ask for forgiveness, we repent of our sins, we follow the process that God has laid out for us, both on a daily basis and a yearly basis. We have the ability to keep our spiritual windshields clean, and we should do our best to keep them as clean as possible. We've discussed the tools around us that can help us do this. We have the light to lead us, God's truth and his way, along with Christ's example. We have wipers to clear away obstacles, God's people around us to help us when we need it. We have the washer fluid, God's Holy Spirit, to be called upon regularly and not just in emergencies. And we have the opportunity to wash the car, to correctly observe God's Passover procedures and be forgiven, to be restored, to clean our windshield and return to an unblemished state in God's eyes. After we get through the long, blustery, dreary winter, that again, that's our next step in God's plan, with his holiday plan. But rain, dirt, leaves, scratches, slushies, cracks, they're going to happen. But when they do, there's no reason to give up. There's no reason to total the car. New scratches that we find should bother us just as much now as that first scratch we got on our new car. Close over in Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Should we do our part, God is willing to forget the scratches on our windshield. In fact, our goal, of course, is to no longer need the physical windshield at all. But while we do have it, God expects us to keep our windshields as clean and pure as we can. May we all only examine our windshields through the light.